of war we lost.
Well, don't worry about it. We're famous for losing the wars we win.
Baghdad! Don't underestimate Baghdad!
A city rich in romantic oriental lore.
Baghdad! You must investigate Baghdad!
And learn a few of the facts you never knew before.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.
Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom, and we're here, as Sherman Skolnick said, once again, to scrape the bullshit off the truth and to expose the state secrets that the ruling elite, the upper echelons, hope you don't learn. They're right out in front of your nose. It's not a matter of anything. There's no secrets in the electric age. It's all there. But here to connect the dots for us is one of the greatest patriots in the history of the United States of America and a friend of the American Revolution, Tom Hennigan. It's an honor to have you back here at Cloak and Dagger.
Well, thank you, Lenny, and I want to say, again, hello to everybody all over the world as we sit here in occupied America tonight, and I can tell you it's an extremely difficult time period we're in. Even after the election results, we know that the senator from South Dakota has taken ill because of a problem with his brain. This comes on the heels of the activity in Western Europe with Lenovenko and whatever his name is in the Russian and espionage scenario over there. People dropping like flies, and now we have the problem here with Senator Johnson. I can only say one thing, Lenny. There is a Utah connection that we're looking into. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that Utah connection is being looked at right now by our people. And we will probably by tomorrow have a breaking story for you on what's going on here and down in America with an attempt to swing the U.S. Senate back to Republican control through activity like we're seeing right now with the alleged illness of Senator Johnson.
But let's not mince words. The modus operandi of this crowd is exposed and obvious, and you can see it. They were prepared to murder 3,000 Americans to get what they wanted. Why would one more just be anything, any problem? Just a matchstick on a huge lumberyard.
That's correct. Now, I wanted to start the briefing tonight with a very serious announcement, a subject here we have to deal with tonight, and that is about 3 or 4 days ago, a U.S.-French intelligence team in Egypt, about 30 agents, were suddenly arrested by the Egyptian government and charged with basically terrorism. They were charged with trying to recruit individuals on Egyptian soil for the purpose of waging counterinsurgency in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I want to report tonight to everyone that, as you well know, just 2 days ago, we broke the story concerning the fact that the Saudi ambassador to the United States, Prince Turki Al-Fayyad, had quit his post and left the country. And the reason this is happening is because Al-Fayyad knew too much and was subject to basically being a witness in various civil suits that still exist concerning 9/11. And Al-Fayyad clearly knew about 9/11 in advance. And Al-Fayyad, let's just say this, ladies and gentlemen, Al-Fayyad knew, absolutely knew, about the links between Wildcard, a.k.a. Lieutenant Breland. He knew about the Saudi intelligence intercepts that had taken place by French intelligence of Saudi intelligence cables to the United States, along with British, Israeli, and Russian, which were basically direct communications between these foreign intelligence agencies and people that would eventually be involved in 9/11. That is why Mr. Al-Fayyad left the United States so hastily. Now, I can tell you this. We now know that the U.S.-French team that was in Egypt was not there to train counterinsurgents. They were there, Lenny, because they were hot on the trail of the Dr. Haider cell. Dr. Haider is known in most intelligence, what would you call it, agency jargon,
yep,
as the following. He is known as Abu Doha, D-O-H-A, alias Dr. Haider. Alias Dr. Haider. Now, who is Dr. Haider? Dr. Haider is one of the sources that talked to Lieutenant Breland, a.k.a. Wildcard, while he was in Toronto, Canada, well in advance of the 9/11 attack. To give people a little bit of review here in history, Breland, story begins basically in the fall of 2000. He was sent to Russia just like Lee Harvey Oswald, where his American Mossad contact, Mark Beistein, a computer specialist working for foreign affairs at Canada's embassy in Moscow. So here, Lenny, is a U.S. naval intelligence officer meeting a Canadian foreign affairs officer at the Canadian embassy in Moscow. This is Breland.
Exactly.
Now, what Breland got is he got information that was vital to U.S. national security and Canadian national security. He left Russia with these documents and arrived in Canada, not the United States, in December of 2000. Now, his affidavit stated he effectively wanted to meet Beistein 2 days later in Toronto to hand over the documents to a third party. And that third party is the American individual, Eddie.
Yes.
That is mentioned in the Uri Hussein letter to Putin. You recall that, don't you?
Exactly.
Now, Beistein never showed up, but Breland hung on to the document. Breland asserts that he proceeded to upload the documents onto a secure website. I've talked to him. It was on his computer. He basically had codes that nobody else had. He didn't even tell his attorneys about this. He told me, though. And just as an aside, he's the one that fingered Bush and Victor Ash and the whole homosexual elite here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Now, Beistein had two telephone numbers. One to Canadian Intelligence Service, and to contact if anything went wrong. Well, as we now know, Breland was subsequently arrested in Toronto on alleged fraud charges. At the time of his arrest in Toronto, Canada, Breland claims that he attempted to contact the CISIS per Beistein's instructions, but was unsuccessful. Upon Breland's arrest, he was placed in solitary confinement in Canada. The reason for this treatment was the difficulty Toronto police had in confirming his identity. FBI fingerprints records requested by the Toronto police were negative, indicating that Breland had no criminal record. So after he was removed from solitary confinement, that timeline moves up to January 15th, 01. We learn 6 days later that his arrest on December 12th, 2000, Beistein had been dead, had been murdered. They say he died of natural causes.
Yeah.
This is right around the time Bush effectively was able to steal the U.S. presidential election. Now we move down the timeline to May. The U.S. government issued a small formal request for the extradition of Breland on charges of credit card fraud, I believe in the state of Michigan.
Exactly.
And of course, Breland had never been in the state of Michigan, from what I hear. So I don't know how he committed this fraud there. Now, his attorneys fought extradition, and Breland's first objection was at the time that the alleged offense was committed in Michigan. He wasn't even there. Both Breland and his lawyers believe now that the U.S. government is pursuing extradition on minor dubious credit card charges when, in fact, the government intends to prosecute him. They were concerned, the government was concerned grabbing him on credit card charges to try to prosecute him on other matters.
Yeah.
I think that what they're trying to do was silence him in advance of 9/11. Isn't that obvious, Lenny?
They were trying to murder him.
Or murder him.
Yeah.
But in June and September, Breland's counsel made repeated and exhaustive requests to U.S. and Canadian intelligence officers that they speak to their client.
Yeah, Galati. Galati.
That's right.
The lawyer.
Their requests were ignored except for one meeting with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police on August 8th. That's almost a month before 9/11.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police contacted the U.S. Navy and told Breland that he had been unsatisfactorily discharged in 1986, 4 months of basic training. This is what the U.S. Navy told the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Now, the position of the Navy was contradicted by an attaché at the U.S. Embassy in Ottawa, who spoke with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and confirmed that Breland was a lieutenant in the U.S. Navy at the time. And then suddenly the Navy turns around and doesn't want to cooperate with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police anymore. And this is right before 9/11. And this is while Breland is sitting with all this information and documentation, linking Udi Hussein letter to Putin, the relationship of Doha and Dr. Hidder to the Egyptian Mossad cells and what was to become 9/11. They were making every attempt, Lenny, the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Naval Intelligence, to try to keep Breland right where he was. Am I right or wrong?
You are right on, Mr. Hennigan.
And that was to keep him in Canada, where they eventually tried to murder him, and I was on the phone with him that weekend.
Keep him on ice.
When we had a group pick him up and take him to a safe house. He was being followed on Canadian soil by a... He was being basically pursued on Canadian soil by a... What would you call it? A team of British intelligence agents. Probably assassins. Probably linked to that old company, Permindex. Am I right or wrong?
Permindex, exactly.
Now, Breland wrote down this information. And we're going to have the actual smoking gun document up on the internet tonight, showing everyone what Breland knew in advance of 9/11 and why they tried to keep him and then eventually murder him in Canada. It is no coincidence then that Dr. Hidder, the Egyptian Abu Doha, who was arrested in London in early 2001, this is after a long correspondence between Breland and Doha. He is being held in England right now on immigration charges. How do you like that? Immigration charges.
Sounds like the Lewandowski case.
Right, and the United States was supposed to extradite him, but dropped the ball and never did. And France and Germany that want to charge him on terrorist activity that is linked to the attempt to bomb a train station in Strasbourg, France, at the Gare de la Nord in Paris, France, and at a train station, a Hauptbahnhof in Germany. The U.S. ran out the clock, and now France and Germany can't pursue their case against him. How do you like that? This is Bush fraud.
Obstruction of justice.
Obstruction of justice in the murder of 3,000 American people by this piece of filth that sits in the White House. Now, we were touching on this matter here with Breland. I mean, what we have here is his contact in Moscow was murdered. We know what they did to him up there in Canada. They moved him all over the place. They wanted to extradite him on a credit card charge and kill him. You know, I tell you what, one of the big obstructors up there in Canada was a guy named Justice Campbell of the Superior Court. Are you familiar with him?
No, I'm not. Not at all. But let's go ahead with
well,
that.
Well, he was involved in that. He denied the request of Breland's counsel to compel the production of the records that the Canadian government had, which would prove Breland's innocence and his credibility vis-a-vis 9/11.
Amazing.
So you got the Canadian government up there, basically. That was under, I believe, who was the prime minister then? It was at...
Martin. Was it? No.
Yeah, well, Martin, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it was Kretchen. What date?
What we know is that both the U.S. and Canadian government have obstructed, and the government of the Russian Federation have conspired to kill, to try to kill the truth about 9/11 vis-a-vis the relationship with Lieutenant Breland to Dr. Hedaire. And now we find out that a U.S.-French intelligence team, which was pursuing leads in Egypt, a sting operation, a.k.a. the cells that are still under the control of the imprisoned Dr. Hedaire, a.k.a. Doha, in Great Britain. And by the way, he's able to wander all over his cell in England. He's able to use his cell phone right in the prison there on immigration charges. They haven't brought any charges. And here is one of the masterminds of 9/11 who the U.S. refused to extradite and who the British government just has sit there under some phony baloney like a parking ticket. You understand what I'm saying, Lenny?
Exactly. I sure do.
And here we got him wandering around this jail with his cell phone. And what does he do the other day? He gets on the phone with Mashar, the president of Egypt, after getting a heads up from Vladimir Putin and the Russian-Israeli mob that the U.S.-French team in Egypt is about to bust up five or six cells, and that they've already captured six or seven whistleblowers. So what does the government of Egypt do? Is they turn around and detain the U.S.-French team, and listen to this bullshit.
Yeah.
They accuse them. Follow me on this.
Yeah.
Of aiding and abetting terrorists and trying to recruit individuals in Egypt for the purpose of counterinsurgency activity in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Trumped up charges.
Trumped up farces. And we know all about this U.S.-French team. What it is. And what it's doing, it's trying to save and liberate the United States of America from this British, Yiddish, Russian FSB occupation group. And I can report to you tonight that one of the individuals involved in trying to frame this team in Egypt was none other than this creep, this Russian Mossad double agent, dual citizen, urban moving systems, 9/11 co-conspirator who sits in the Department of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff.
Wow, there you go.
And Chertoff, if you're listening, you better erase those cell phone calls you got from Dr. Hedaire in the British prison.
Way to go, way to connect the dots, Tom. You're the master, the great patriot.
Well, we had to tonight because we're dealing with treason and filth beyond that anybody's belief.
Yeah.
We've got a senator dying maybe in Washington, D.C., which is going to allow this criminal cabal to seize power again without an election. They've already done it once in 2000. Possibly a second time in 04, although that's doubtful because we know Kerry Cohen, Skull and Bones, is a Bush's third cousin and Patsy. Now, I tell you, when we connect these dots, we have to, of course, annihilate the box. And, of course, tonight, we know Mr. Paulson, the head of the Federal Reserve, is in China, begging the Chinese to rewrite these derivatives so that the United States of America doesn't default to the IMF. How do you like that? Those are the Reagan-Mitterrand protocols that are old,
right,
with interest over 17 years. And what does Mr. Paulson do over there? He wants to rewrite the derivatives. And I guess he's going to rewrite them to a point where he can then maybe pay everybody. I don't know. It's going to put us in such massive debt. And these banks are going to be basically strung out like...
Well, it's just like in the mobsters. What happens is you take the amount owing, you add it to the principal, add it to the principal. Pretty soon it's like you owe $100,000 for every dollar of principal.
As sad as this may sound, it's like the guy, it's like W.C. Fields in the movie The Bank Dick. When Mae West says finally to W.C., knowing how lucrative his business is, he's, come on over here, big boy, and see me sometime. Right, Lenny?
Yeah, it was My Little Chickadee, not the bank dick. But go ahead. That's right.
Oh, well, that was My Little Chickadee. That's right. Well, I tell you, this is more like the bank dick than the little chickadee. But again, back to what happened in Egypt just 10 days ago. So here we have this team, not only trying to protect the American people, the people of Western Europe, France, England, Germany, everywhere else. And we got this Putin and this Mossad gang in Israel, and Chertoff turn around and frame the people for trying to get to the truth and trying to protect us from future attack. How dare them? How dare them, these conspiratorial tyrants and kings? How dare them?
Yeah.
And Lenny, you know, there's Levin, you say it.
Litvinenko.
And that Berovsky, is that how you say it? Boris.
Oh, yeah, Boris.
Berovsky, right.
Yeah.
We now know this whole thing is linked to Neil Bush, Yukos Oil, Bill and Hillary Clinton's offshore oil trusts, vis-a-vis with the deals they made with Boris Yeltsin. We now know that Osama Hussein Obama was over there trying to get documents linked to the Yukos Oil Company. That's why they detained him. The whole thing stinks from high heaven, Mr. Lenny.
Yeah, boom. It sure does.
And it gets worse, doesn't it?
It gets worse.
And it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. What you have here is an international criminal syndicate run amok.
Yeah.
And tonight we have to do something we don't like to do, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to out somebody, this associate bitch, and I'm going to use that term. She's got a website called whatdoesitmean.com. She put out this story about the U.S.-French team being busted in Egypt. She takes her orders directly from FBI Division Number 5, the Israeli Mossad, Michael Chertoff, and Vladimir Putin through the back door.
There you go. You've outed them.
I'll tell you, what does it mean? What's it going to mean, Sosha? Because I'm going to warn you right now, bitch. You will never again put the lives of a brave American, French, patriotic agents in danger like you just did. And I'll tell you, all those that want to continue to perpetuate this cover-up of this criminal activity of the highest proportion, whether they're here, there, or in any America, in the American media or any media all over the world, my message is crystal clear. Watch your back, punks. Watch your backs, punks. I mean, Lenny, it's interesting today, you know, you talk about the lying and cheating and stealing. We got a situation here in America where they're bombarding us with Hillary Obama polls.
Yeah.
One after another. Ba 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 ba. Neither one is electable. They're from the north of the Mason-Dixon line, which hasn't produced a Democratic president in over 46 years. That was pre-civil rights. And the basic biggest engineer of all this is NBC General Electric. They put out a poll today by this punk John Hardwood and this other punk Peter Hart. They didn't even mention Al Gore in the poll. Now they decide, well, the way we'll keep Al Gore out of the race, we won't give people an opportunity to pick him. You like that?
Yeah.
Who'd they stick back? Guess who they stuck back in the poll with Hillary and Obama?
Oh, who'd they stick back in? Kerry?
John Kerry, Skull and Bones, Cohen.
Kerry, Skull and Bones.
That's right. That's right. Folks, Gore has a 3-1 lead. He's way ahead. If he decides to run and makes the announcement he's going to be the candidate, it's over with. These people know that. So what do? They put out this bullshit.
Yeah.
Over and over again. And you notice they never have Gore in second place. They even try to maneuver him into third place all the time. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Suddenly they stick Obama in front of Gore when Kerry comes down.
Yeah. Propaganda, brainwashing, trying to make a phantom into reality.
They have what they call rotating stooges.
Yeah, rotating stooges.
Al Gore would beat lesbian Rodenhurst, Skull and Bones Cohen, Osama Hussein Obama. He'd beat him hands down twice on Sunday and make him like it. But you got Peter Hart, you got John Harwood, you got Jonathan Alter, all extortion-friendly weirdo punks. Basically working on the instructions and orders of the Israeli Mossad, which controls the U.S. media. So, I mean, folks, begin. But, I mean, we wanted to touch, basically connect the dots tonight between the Lavenko Tayyad, and now what happened vis-a-vis Egypt, and the as it dovetails to Dr. Hader, a.k.a. Doha, who wanders around his cell in England with his cell phone, taking phone calls from Solskjaer, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Pardon?
Exactly.
So, again, as you know, we know why Turkey Fayyad left the country. He left because he was about to be subpoenaed, and he'd have to produce a bunch of information about 9/11.
Yeah.
Which would put him in jeopardy, and then turn around and put Bush in jeopardy, because Bush is the guy, along with Condoleezza Rice, who ignored the warning of our great ally of 200 years, the Republic of France, on three occasions that the U.S. was about to be hit. And, of course, France was well aware of the scenario that was developing vis-a-vis Breland and Doha. So the treason is unbelievable, it's extreme, it's massive, it's out of control. But we shall not be intimidated, Lenny. We shall march on, and we shall fight on, and we shall do what we have to do to bring this filth to justice and bring the American nation back to where it belongs, which is a free, independent republic.
Well, we have the Vreeland smoking gun notes up on the Internet as we speak now. They're now up on the Internet, so people can go up on the Internet and click on them and read the notes. Dr. Hader, who was one of the masterminds of 9/11, and you can see all the whole story there and listen to the briefing, of course, at the same time. So, Tom, I mean, you've really connected the dots and once again exposed the truth and scraped the bullshit off it.
I want to thank you very much, Lenny, for having me on tonight. I understand we're all feeling a little under the weather. To be honest with you, both of us, as you well know, are being targeted with various black op type of attempts to destabilize our health. But we shall not be intimidated, and I shall fight them to my last breath, as my father did when he stormed Normandy Beach. We will never bow down to tyrants. We will never bow down to conspiratorial tyrants and kings. In the spirit of our great revolution of the United States of 1776, of George Washington, of our great French ally at the time, Lafayette, we shall defeat these tyrants. So tonight I want to close the program, as I usually do, with my famous, if not famous, my persistent statement of never give in and never give up. And in order to keep everyone clear-cut on their marching orders, as we move straight ahead and to identify and annihilate the enemy, and let the impure blood of those tyrants and kings flow in the furrows, we close the program tonight, as we always do, with the greatest revolutionary music ever composed. We bring you the French national anthem, the Marseillaise, or the Marseillaise, as I say, and we bring you Madame Edith Piaf in complete and full ragale. Good night and God bless.
Good night, Tom. It's been just great having you here to scrape the bullshit off the truth and to expose these state secrets. All these dots that are under our noses, you're putting together the patterns for us. Just great. And you know what, Tom? After people listen to the what I've been doing, after people listen to Edith Piaf and that great national anthem, go and read the words and see that the words, "How dare you, you conspiratorial tyrants, tyrants and conspiratorial kings," comes right from and right out of the French national anthem. And that's why it's such a great anthem, because it does let you know and update your consciousness as to what's really going on. And right after that, we're going to play The Challenge, which is the challenge to George Bush from the Islamic world, those fighting against imperial commerce and imperialism in Iraq. It's just a great, also revolutionary song. I hope you enjoy it. Tom, it's an honor to have you here at Cloak and Dagger. Look forward to your briefing real soon. Good night, and thanks a lot.
And good night, and God bless you, Lenny. Thank you again. Vive la France.
Allons enfants de campagne, mugirent ces féroces soldats. Ils viennent jusque dans nos bras, égorger nos fils, nos compagnes. Aux armes, citoyens, formez vos bataillons, marchons, marchons.
Struggling to survive under the sanctions imposed by the criminal regimes of the US and Britain. We are simple people who chose principles over fear. We have suffered crimes and sanctions, which we consider the true weapons of mass destruction. Years and years of agony and despair, while the condemned UN traded with our oil revenues in the name of world stability and peace. Over 2 million innocents died waiting for a light at the end of a tunnel that only ended with the occupation of our country and the theft of our resources. After the crimes of the administrations of the US and Britain in Iraq, we have chosen our future, the future of every resistance struggle ever in the history of man. It is our duty, as well as our right, to fight back the occupying forces, which their nations will be held morally and economically responsible for what their elected governments have destroyed and stolen from our land. We have not crossed the oceans and seas to occupy Britain or the US, nor are we responsible for 9/11. These are only a few of the lies that these criminals present to cover their true plans for the control of the energy resources of the world in face of a growing China and a strong unified Europe. It is ironic that the Iraqis are to bear the full face of this large and growing conflict on behalf of the rest of this sleeping world. We thank all those, including those of Britain and the US, who took to the streets in protest against this war and against globalism. We also thank France, Germany, and other states for their position, which, least to say, are considered wise and balanced till now. Today, we call on you again. We do not require arms or fighters, for we have plenty. We ask you to form a worldwide front against war and sanctions, a front that is governed by the wise and knowing, a front that will bring reform and order, new institutions that would replace the now corrupt. Stop using the US dollar, use the euro or a basket of currencies. Reduce or halt your consumption of British and US products. Put an end to Zionism before it ends the world. Educate those in doubt of the true nature of this conflict, and do not believe their media, for their casualties are far higher than they admit. We only wish we had more cameras to show the world their true defeat. The enemy is on the run. They are in fear of a resistance movement they cannot see nor predict. We now choose when, where, and how to strike. And as our ancestors drew the first marks of civilization, we will redefine the word conquest. Today, we write a new chapter in the arts of urban warfare. Know that by helping the Iraqi people, you are helping yourselves, for tomorrow may bring the same destruction to you. And helping the Iraqi people does not mean kneeling to the Americans for a few contracts here and there. You must continue to isolate their strategy. This conflict is no longer considered a localized war, nor can the world remain hostage to the never-ending and regenerated fear that the American people suffer from in general. We will pin them here in Iraq to drain their resources, manpower, and their will to fight. We will make them spend as much as they steal, if not more. We will disrupt, then halt the flow of our stolen oil, thus rendering their plans useless. And the earlier a movement is born, the earlier their fall will be. And to the American soldiers, we say, you can also choose to fight tyranny with us. Lay down your weapons and seek refuge in our mosques, churches, and homes. We will protect you, and we will get you out of Iraq, as we have done with a few others before you. Go back to your homes, families, and loved ones. This is not your war, nor are you fighting for a true cause in Iraq. And to George W. Bush, we say, you have asked us to bring it on, and so have we, like never expected. Have you another challenge?